Welcome to Mom in Mind. I'm perinatal psychologist and host Dr. Kat. There's more to the story than just postpartum depression, and this podcast aims to share it all, from personal stories and lived experience to experts who break down the ups and downs of life from getting pregnant, pregnancy, perinatal loss, and postpartum adjustment to parenthood. While this is not psychotherapy or medical advice, it is all of the stuff you ever wanted to know about mental health and new parenthood. Hi, and welcome to the Mom in Mind podcast, Behind the Sessions. I am your host, perinatal mental health psychologist, Dr. Kat. I have now been doing the Mom in Mind podcast for nearly 8 years, and I've been specializing in perinatal mental health for nearly 14 years and a psychologist for longer than that. And honestly, it's been something that I've always wanted to do, supporting people through their mental health journey. Finding wellness, it has a lot of meaning to me, something I knew that I wanted to do from a very young age. And in this process, especially in the population that I serve, perinatal mental health folks who are dealing with all kinds of things from just thinking about starting a family to fertility and pregnancy and loss and postpartum, there are so many facets to this journey. And so many ways in which people experience joy, but also grief, and have complex relationships with their own body, their own self, especially as it relates to healing and as it relates to essentially becoming a parent. And when I talk about becoming a parent, I mean that can start at any age. In some ways, when we think about like really the parenting journey, you can even go as far back as to when you first thought that you wanted kids, or even your first act of sort of mothering or parenting as to your own like little dolls or your babies or other ways that culturally you may have felt the nurturing care for something, nurturing care that would at some point relate to you wanting to become a parent, having a really more solid idea of that. And then on the journey, the actual beginning of the process of trying to become a parent. And in this series, the Behind the Session series that I do within the Mom in Mind podcast, I'm really wanting to highlight what comes up in therapy, sometimes the therapeutic process, certainly the topics, the feelings that people discuss, to really shed a light and help people understand that while your unique journey, your unique process might be just yours, there are some commonalities that run through some of these processes of both pain processes and healing processes. And we've talked about this a lot on the Mom in Mind podcast and also now in these Behind the Sessions episodes. Today, I want to focus a little bit of time on the pain and grief that people experience with infertility and in the loss journey. That journey to become a parent or to have more children. And there's such a wide spectrum of experience just in the fertility process and in the perinatal loss experience. So I'm not going to do any one of those like full justice in talking about this today, but I do want to talk about some of the things that people don't often hear about. So if you are somebody who is on a fertility journey and have felt really alone in the process, you might hear parts of your experience as I walk through some of this today. I want to first include the kind of backdrop to some of the stuff that people experience internally. Again, that we've talked a lot about on this podcast, which is myths of parenthood and motherhood, societal pressures, ways that people think they should be or feel in the process to becoming a parent. And just kind of name that as the soup we're all in. This is impacting and affecting the majority of people that are going through the process to become parents. They are just there. The pressures are there. The myths are there. Things that we've internalized that we've heard from society or somebody in the family or somebody else's journey that we've heard. And when talking about heterosexual relationships, that means you have sex, you get pregnant, like A plus B equals C. So this, for a lot of people, is the idea that that's how this works. You make a decision and then it happens. And certainly for people who are not in heterosexual relationships, it is not that linear. There are other processes in place. People may be seeking out fertility treatments or other assisted reproductive technologies to help become pregnant. So already inherently in that dynamic, there are immediately other pressures, other stressors, other difficult systems to navigate potentially, or hard conversations to have. One of the really challenging, difficult, painful processes is going through fertility treatments, things such as IVF or IUI or other ways that people might seek out a reproductive endocrinologist or talk to their OB about ways that they can become pregnant. Typically, when people are seeking out fertility treatments, and again, I'm kind of painting broad strokes here, so this certainly isn't everyone's experience, but often enough, when people are seeking out fertility treatments and support, they may have already experienced a loss, either had a miscarriage or other type of perinatal loss, or even had multiple losses, and are now at a point where they have to consider how much money, time, effort, energy, emotional, physical resources they can and or want to put into having a baby. There's something I want to say about this that I think is very important, that just because somebody chooses to go on a specific journey, in this case, fertility treatments to become pregnant, doesn't mean that it doesn't impact them negatively. I've heard it far too often, people to be dismissed by others around them. Like when people say things like, well, you chose this, this is what you wanted. Choosing to go down this path or any path towards becoming a parent for that matter, doesn't mean you are like asking for suffering. So you might as well just suck it up. That is an absolutely incorrect sentiment. It does not mean anything. We choose paths all the time, but we don't know the outcome. We don't know what is ahead of us. We're in a process. And of course, sometimes things don't go the way that we want. And of course, it's okay to have feelings about it. And especially when you're going into, you know, a process of trying to become pregnant and stay pregnant, you don't know how it's going to go. You're going into it with hope, of course, but you also are going into it knowing that there are risks involved, knowing that you might not end up pregnant or might not end up with a baby through that process. But nobody's hoping for that. You're not like putting all of this stuff on the line for nothing. People have hope going into this process. So sometimes fertility treatments work the first try and people go on to have a healthy and fine pregnancy and the baby that they were longing for. That doesn't mean they didn't have any grief along the way in that process. That doesn't mean they don't still have sadness that they had to go through any type of fertility treatments. But that's, you know, when we're talking about different experiences, there are some people who fertility treatment works on the first go and off they go into the life that they hoped for. There are other people who have had to go through multiple fertility treatments, multiple rounds of IVF, multiple disappointments or losses, sadness and grief, and years of ups and downs, physical and emotional ups and downs, and don't know when they're going to, you know, have the baby that they've been longing for. It can be a grueling experience for a lot of people. And
this podcast is supported by Factor. If you want stress-free and ready-to-eat meals for you and your family, then Factor it is. These meals are fresh and crafted by chefs, and all of that means that in 2 minutes, you can be eating a quality meal that you can really taste because it's never been frozen. You just heat and serve. Yesterday for lunch, I had the honey mustard chicken with green beans and potatoes, and it was so full of flavor, and it was also just the right amount of food to keep me going for the day and feeling good with the amount of protein that I needed. And what's cool is I'm going out of town for a little bit, and it was really easy to put the delivery on pause and set it up for when I return. Head to factormeals.com/momandmind50 and use code momandmind50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code MOMANDMIND50 at factormeals.com/MOMANDMIND50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
This podcast is sponsored by Paired. One of the things I hear weekly is how clients feel distant or not as connected to their partners, and also how they'd like to feel heard and seen by their partners. So for all you partners out there, it might be time to try Paired. It's an app that helps couples connect in a meaningful way, especially for couples who either feel disconnected, don't have time to sit down together, or who are just wanting to keep the connection going. This app is great. My husband and I are on it, and one of the things I love are the games where I answer a set of fun or interesting questions, and then he does the same, and we see where our answers line up or are different. It's a really cool way of learning something new about him, even though we've been together over 20 years. And there are a bunch of other great questions geared towards connection and understanding and intimacy that, when you share your answers, can help you and your partner understand each other better. Share the love this Mother's Day by going to paired.com/mind to get a 7-day free trial and 25% off if you sign up for a subscription. That's paired.com/mind to sign up today. Let's give the gift of connection this Mother's Day. A happier relationship starts here. Takes a toll. I'm going to kind of list out some of the things that people experience as they're going through this journey. I've stated a little bit about grief already. But grief takes many forms. Grief can feel like anger. Grief can feel like resentment. Grief can feel like jealousy, especially in when somebody is trying to become pregnant. And I hear this very often, that if somebody is trying to become pregnant and or who hasn't been able to get pregnant despite multiple attempts, when they see somebody that they know become pregnant, they can be very happy for their friend or family member or acquaintance, happy for them, but also sad for themselves. And sometimes that can feel like jealousy. Sometimes it can be jealousy. And then there's this whole emotional toll that it takes, where people feel like they shouldn't have the feelings that they're having, and now are additionally dealing with the complexity of having the feeling that they're having, and then sort of fighting with themselves about it, that I should be a better friend or a better family member and just be happy for them. Just be happy for this other person. Well, newsflash, life is not that straightforward. It's way more complex than that. You can be happy for somebody and be sad for yourself. You can be happy for somebody else and be angry that your body isn't doing what you want it to do. And we have to get out of this one lane thinking about emotional states. Most of the time, people are feeling a multitude of emotions about any number of things. And very specifically in the fertility journey, there are ups and downs all over the place. And oftentimes, the person who's going through the fertility treatments feels alone and can feel alone in the process and the journey, because everything is happening within their body. They are introducing hormones into the body from, you know, whatever the treatment protocol is. They're having physical responses to the hormones, emotional responses to hormones. Then they're going through a process of egg retrieval, which is a whole procedure. Then they're waiting to see how many of the embryos are considered potentially viable. This is a whole process that goes into just waiting. There's a lot of waiting to see. Then if there are viable embryos, then there's an embryo transfer, and then hoping to see if the embryo took and to get confirmation of pregnancy, and then waiting to see if they stay pregnant. And then if there is a loss, waiting for the miscarriage, waiting for all of the emotional and physical impacts of all of that. And this, what I'm describing here, is a pretty relatively brief snapshot of maybe one cycle of IVF. Now, people go through this multiple times, and there's so much more involved in it. There's a lot of decision making. There's a lot of timing. There's a lot of trying to, you know, decide if you can work these treatments in and around your work schedule or travel schedule or of family events. And just even the act of trying to schedule this in and around other life events is something typically that, you know, the emotional stuff is happening so internally. If they're, you know, if the person has a supportive partner, they're working through this together, they're thinking about these things together, but still the physical and emotional process is happening in one person's body. That leaves people feeling really vulnerable to one, like I said, feeling not understood, feeling alone, feeling like it is all on them, like the responsibility for all of it, feeling pressure to try and make this happen, feeling like failure if it's not happening. And as I mentioned before, feeling anger or even betrayal towards their own body. I've talked a lot about the IVF process, but this can also be the case, just a different version of this with repeated attempts to become pregnant in any way. It becomes incredibly exhausting. And it's much easier to hold hope in the beginning of any process, but in the beginning of this. And if there are repeated attempts at pregnancy and either pregnancies that didn't take or repeated losses, it becomes harder and harder to feel hopeful. Although people will keep trying because they do have hope, but it's not the same kind of hope. Like once you've experienced a pregnancy loss, you can like never really have that naive type of hope. And I don't mean naive in the sense of like you don't know better, but naive meaning like you haven't had to feel the pain of loss yet. And so you can go into the trying to become pregnant with like that excitement, that kind of wonder, that the newness of the process. But after there are multiple losses, it just wears down on you. There's no way for it not to. And as I mentioned before, this can happen in other ways that people are trying to become pregnant. It can happen when somebody is using a gestational surrogate, and that process has other complications, other added layers of stress and hopefulness and negotiating and discussions and things like that. There can be another added layer of complication if people are using an egg donor or a sperm donor. Essentially, the more variables that are outside of your immediate control of what you can control in this process, of the things you actually can control, because sidebar, there are just limitations to what you can control in the process to becoming pregnant. But you can better believe it that if there's something that can be managed or worked on, people are doing that. So usually there's the grief and the sadness and the anger. And I've talked mostly about the internal process, but there are impacts on the relationship with the person who's trying to be pregnant and the partner or family or whoever's the main support. It's almost like the person who's trying to become pregnant feels also responsible now for making sure that their partner has the child that they want to have, and then potentially feeling like a failure for like not being able to quote unquote provide that for their partner. I mean, how messed up is it to feel that way? It's a way that a lot of people feel, but can you like just for a moment, if you've never experienced this before, put yourself in that position where there's a thing you're trying to do that in the case of like you trying to become pregnant or even using IVF or other reproductive technologies, it's on you to do this thing. You can't like ask somebody else to carry that particular burden. And then for you to not be having what you want, you to not be having the child that you want, and then also feel responsible that other people are going to be upset with you because like you can't. Just such a harsh way to say it, but that's how what it feels like. I'm not talking about, of course, my judgment. I'm talking about what it feels like for somebody to experience that. So that's just, you know, a tiny bit of the relationship dynamics that can come up. But there's something else I want to touch on too, which is the comments that people receive from sometimes complete strangers, sometimes people they know, such as like, you know, I'm thinking of somebody who's going through fertility treatments and who's had multiple losses, and them being told, well, why don't you just adopt? Or like, when are you going to stop trying? Or even like, you should keep trying, which is also just like a whole other type of burden to put onto somebody. And people who are making those comments, maybe they're coming from a good place. Maybe they have hope for you, but they're also potentially coming from a place of not having all the information. It's like a band-aid-y type thing. Well, they could start going down a list of things that you should try, as if you hadn't already thought about the 5 million things you want to do to try and help your journey along. Well, you should try acupuncture. Why don't you go to a naturopathic doctor? oh, have you tried X, Y, or Z medication? Or maybe there's something wrong with your system. Maybe there's something wrong with your partner's system. You know, try X, Y, or Z supplement. That's what helped my cousin. So, I mean, like somebody who's going through an incredible amount of pain, repeated loss, and money, time, effort, energy, grief, sadness, and are then being told that it is the amount of pain that those types of comments cause people is palpable. It is like a whole other layer that they did not need to deal with. It just didn't. And oftentimes those like suggestions are given without asking if somebody wants suggestions. They're just given, and it's really intrusive. And so these are things that I've heard repeatedly from clients who have gone through this, have had to deal with the comments, the kind of quote unquote well-meaning suggestions. And it's yet another thing for them to manage. I mean, we talk a lot about how to set boundaries with people in these types of scenarios, because it can be hard to navigate this. And it's honestly the last thing that somebody wants to deal with is how are they going to tell their Aunt Barbara to stop asking them when they're going to have kids. Like, nobody wants to have that conversation. It can make it hard to go to family gatherings, holidays, events, because people can, like, the person who's trying to become pregnant is on this journey and they don't want to have to answer to anybody else or answer questions about why they're not pregnant yet. So I guess piece of advice for if you are somebody who hasn't been in this boat and you're talking to somebody who has or is dealing with fertility struggles or trying to have a baby, if your feeling is to say, why don't you just, or offer them a suggestion, how about no? You know, that's the most plain way I can put it.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
Letting them know that if they want to talk about their experience, you're there for them to just listen. Letting them know that they absolutely don't have to talk about it. Like, that is, you know, a huge gift to give somebody, to just outright say like, hey, I'm just here to hang out with you. If you want to talk about stuff, cool. We don't have to talk about stuff if you don't want to. Like, you know, and just offer space where they don't have to feel pressure. That could go a long way. And everybody's journey is different. Some people want to be asked how they're doing. Other people absolutely don't want to be asked how they're doing. But what I think is super important about this is to not make assumptions. You know, these are hard conversations to have. And people feel awkward and don't know what to say. But you can say that. You can say, I wish I knew the right thing to say right now. And just, you know, put it out there like that. You don't have to know. You're not always going to know what to say. For those of you who are going through this process, it is really valuable to meet with a therapist who understands what you're going through, who can help you cope, manage, deal with all of the range of feelings that are coming up for you, and help you figure out how to set those boundaries, how to have those conversations, and how to navigate this in a way where, like, you have a plan and you have tools to deal with difficult conversations or ways to cope with waves of grief and sadness. It is invaluable to have a place to talk about hard things and to feel not judged and to be able to say all the random or sometimes scary or sometimes embarrassing things that you think and feel. I see it, on people's faces all the time, that the amount of relief that they have, that even for that, hour a week or hour every other week, it's like a pressure valve. It just being able to release some of it, especially if you don't feel like you have somebody you can talk to, is incredibly valuable for your mental well-being and for continuing on in the journey, whatever it looks like for you, whether you continue on and have multiple rounds of IVF or you decide that, or you come to a place where that is not a good option for you anymore. Whatever it is, having a place to process these thoughts and feelings and to honor your experience is just so incredibly important. And this is your life. There's nothing more important than figuring out how to cope and manage so that your mental health and well-being can be considered and honored and valued in this process. So I'm sure for some of you who have been through things like this, you could add a ton more of examples to how this is difficult, just kind of scraping the surface. But again, my hope, my goal is for folks who are just experiencing this and haven't talked about it out loud or are worried that the things they think and feel are not going to be well received. I just want you to know that other people's experience might parallel yours and there might be similarities and that you can find places to have connection and to find healing and that you don't have to go through this process alone if you can find a good therapist or a good support network. Thanks for listening to this episode, and hopefully it's helped you understand some other aspect of the journey to becoming a parent and the importance of taking care of our mental health in this journey. If you are not yet subscribed to the Mom and Mind podcast, go to your favorite podcast listening platform and hit subscribe so that you get each and every episode downloaded directly to you. It is free and it is a resource for everyone. Even if you yourself haven't gone through some of the things that I've talked about on this podcast, somebody that you know has, no doubt. And I'd be happy to have you join me on all of my socials at Mom and Mind. Thank you so much for being here. Until next time. Please find the Mom and Mind podcast on momandmind.com or wellmindperinatal.com, where you can also find access to my free online mini course that is specifically designed for people experiencing anxiety in the postpartum period. Or you can learn more about the 3.5-hour self-paced course that I created just for managing postpartum stress. You can also connect with us on social media at Mom and Mind on Instagram and Facebook. Thank you for tuning in and learning more about perinatal mental health.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.